Welcome to Expedition Self on OM Times Radio with lifelong learner, entrepreneur, and creator of the worlds of Expedition Self, Sam Parado. Sam shares 4 decades of studying, guiding, and teaching how to go inside so we can build an incredibly powerful, dynamic, and validating relationship with the self. Expedition Self is laced with stellar, unexpected insights about what it means to be human. Listen now and ignite your self-development process with Sam Parado.
Well, hello. Welcome to Expedition Self. I am Sam Parado on the air. I can't say in the flesh because we're not in the same room together. Anyway, I'm glad to be here tonight, but I got to say, I'm dragging a bit. My eyelids are dragging. My feet are dragging. I've been sitting. Today, I have sat at a desk. I'm now going on my 10th hour, and my eyes are actually, they're starting to flutter because I've been looking at a screen too long. So I don't know if that happens to any of you, but I did not follow the got to get up and go outside and look off in the distance, because that's what I've heard is, you have to every hour take a certain number of minutes and look way off in the distance. Otherwise, those muscles in your eyes start to not work very well. Anyway, okay, a little bit of personal about me this evening. Okay, so here we go. Tonight, we are talking about 5 ways to be jerky . And my significant other, he says, this is a corny way to describe today's show, but the truth is that all the other words that are used along the lines of jerk are pretty harsh. And I always feel like my inner child is listening and so is yours. And so I try to stay away from words that are going to actually go to that aspect of ourselves, even though our conscious mind is in the present. So I would like this conversation to be one that doesn't cause you to cringe in your heart as you're listening and to it. So we're going to soften the language where I can so it doesn't do that. Just a note about that is I have been in a number of interactions in my lifetime where I was speaking to a part of someone that was really rigid and locked in and stubborn, and the problem is that the part that heard my conversation with them was the inner child or the parts of ourselves that are younger. And I probably got to do a show about it because it's a very interesting phenomenon about how to catch in incoming conversation that's completely appropriate, right, for being an adult. But if your inner child takes it on, it's not great for them, right? Because they were taking things on the whole time you were growing up that probably haven't really quite gotten worked out. Okay, so just to underscore my point about the words, and I really think about these words in society, I'm going to actually speak them, all right? So these were the words when I looked it up for jerk. Fool, idiot, which was my grandmother's personal favorite, particularly when she was driving in the slow lane on the highway and still going beneath the speed limit. Jolt, dolt, stupid, imbecile, dummy, dork, nerd, and moron. I hear that one quite a bit when people are describing other people. And so in some ways, this show is about that way of being that produces words like that, either coming at us or coming out of our own mouths or being voiced by us. And of course, there's also those questionable cussing related words, which I'm not going to say on air. And so that's why I chose being jerky instead of coming off with all these words that are like on the edge of coarse and callous. So this topic, it got its legs because a couple weeks ago I was at my son's graduation and his 2 friends also graduated who he roomed with, who he's known since he was a little boy. And so I spent 4 days attending 12 hours of the 4 days sitting in bleacher seats with a couple of other 1,000 people. And I had lots of time to notice others and ponder what I was seeing. And I also had to drive 6 hours both ways to get there. So, you know, if you've been on the road lately, you know that gave me some added fodder as well. And then lastly, I often talk about how to bring yourself, how to show up in life, how to go inside so you can expand and express more of who you are. It has a kind of look at what's possible for you. Look at who you're capable of being. How do you focus on the inner world of your self-development and your healing process so that you actually can settle into yourself and express more? But I don't think I often talk about like what shows up in our humanness when we don't do that. So today's show is about how being human brings out the worst of us, why that can happen and what it looks like, and of course the typical ways that we might respond to it. So this is a call-in show. And so for those of you who would like to listen to me live sometime, I'm on at 8 p.m. on Tuesday night, which is what time it is right now. The number you can call in tonight, if you happen to be listening, is 202-570-7057. You know, I'm still waiting for that show when people just can't stand sitting and listening and they just have to get in on the verbal action. And that I also don't get more than 10 minutes into my agenda, right? Because there's so many people calling in who want to talk. And maybe this is that one for you. So anyway, I welcome you if you'd like to do that. I want to start by talking about the jerkiness that arrives when someone attempts to get from point A to point B, whether it's on foot, in a car, behind a grocery cart, on the train, on a plane, getting a library book that they need for their final thesis, right? Walking from the coffee shop to the car wash where you left the car. When people are trying to move from one place to another, right, to get something done that's on their list, that's important to them, it's ripe for these jerk moments. That self part of I've got to get somewhere that matters to me is totally fertile thought ground, because we feel justified, empowered, extra driven, right? And it's likely that our ego selves are in play at that moment. Our sense of survival is put to the test the minute we try to move from one place to the next. That almost rhymed. And for all of us, at one moment or not, we're going to win, we're going to outmaneuver, we're going to master, and we're going to emerge the victor from whatever our little mini test is, our small moment of self-motivation. And it's also a moment to prove to ourselves that we have agency, that we are able to cause something, to get something done. It's a little mini test of, oh, look, I have some power. So it's so much more complex than anyone ever thinks when they're getting out of their car and walking to the movie theater, or when they're getting the dishes done in their house and then they're going to go do the laundry, right? That movement from one activity to the next. Right? Who has to walk faster down the stairs to get to the bottom and weaves in and out of the two sides, right, at a speed twice that of the rest of the crowd? Or let's see, the person who, while row by row is emptying, right, in an orderly fashion, and then they walk three rows forward before it gets to them, right? And squeeze in before you and about 100 others that should have gone before them. Like, I have long lists. I have another one. The person standing 10th in the grocery line, and then the person, you know, that's checking out all the food, they announce that another lane has opened, right? And this person that's 10th in line darts at the very front of the line, and actually doesn't look at anyone. And then, of course, when a homeless person asks you for money when you're walking in Central Park, right? You're trying to go out for lunch and pick up those extra few things you needed. Yeah, there's something that happens with people when they're on a mission to get somewhere. And I do believe a good number of them forget that they share the planet with other humans and that they're so locked into their own desired destination that the rest of the quote unquote said humans are simply inconvenient ant-like creatures moving in their way as obstacles, like in a video game, which is very present for me since my son majored in video game making. I think, when we're getting from point A to point B, it's as if the people around us don't have feelings. We don't even see them mortal, right? With blood pumping through their bodies and their hearts beating. Their needs don't matter. And all others are secondary to this person driven to get where they're going. And I started talking about this through the lens of somebody else. Like, I'm talking about it today as if it's not me, but no, that's not true, right? I am this person also, right? I don't think there is a human being who isn't this person that I just described. You know, you may have your own unique bend about it or the way you do it, but I tend to walk faster than most. And when I am ready to go somewhere, I want the most direct route I can find. I don't like wasted steps. I don't like to have to spend more energy. I don't wander around, right? I am not in what they call in the clan of the cave bear. I'm not in gathering mode. I would fit more the hunter category, right? And so I don't know if you're all familiar with it, but they describe like early Cro-Magnon people. It was a wonderful book. So it's not that when I think I'm going to get from here to there, I say, oh, I'm going to be a jerk about this. But I know that for others who have been cut off by me or disoriented because I moved around them too fast, that I totally fit this one. I totally do. And I guess I'm hoping that you're thinking about when you fit it too. It's just so much easier to remember the ones that aren't you. I mean, it's always so easy to do that. I often think about, you know how your eye, it flips the image over and you don't know it. You see it upright, but actually your eye is doing a reverse thing. I feel like we do the same thing in terms of how we understand ourselves and are with ourselves, which is it's so much easier to remember and notice what other people's behavior is and actually miss our own, right? And so while I was sitting in this graduation, watching gobs of people mill around and sit in their seats, it was fascinating to watch the gotta get there people interact with the slow motoring people. And then, oh my gosh, the looks that were given when it became noticeable to either party, you've seen those looks, right? And it probably given them. Someone moving too fast who accidentally bumps another person's shoulder and they're suddenly shocked by the contact and the look, right? There's no real words. It's, did you see what you just did? Do you realize I am in a hurry? Right? I'm important. I matter. You should have been more aware and gotten out of my way. Right? And of course, the person that gets bumped into is like, how dare you? I can't even believe you just did that. Are you kidding? And of course, all of this is being communicated, with the mouth that gets a little puckered and tight and, the nose that kind of comes forward and the eyes that close and slant a little bit. And, the eye action was pretty funny when it's not directed at me, like raised eyebrows and haughty shoulder lifting, a little bit of indignant lip curling. I don't know how many of you have ever actually watched yourself in these moments, but I think none of us mask it very well, right? These jerk moments that I'm talking about, I think they'd make one of those coffee table books filled with photos. They'd cause it to come to life. If I were a photographer, it would be interesting to see if you could capture these hey, I'm trying to get somewhere and I'm moving at my own pace. And even though somebody else may be affected and I'm looking a little jerky, it's still okay. I'm on a mission, right? Yeah, this getting from one place to another. And so I'm talking about the actual moving, like with our bodies, but actually we also run into it in our minds. When we're trying to get from one place to another, we're trying to meet a goal, we're trying to get something done. It's just so easy, right, to kind of be a jerk with anything or anybody that's affected by it. So it's the extreme depiction of how we relate to ourselves as mattering, right? Because in this moment, we actually appear as if we're really mattering to ourselves, right? I am self-important. I have something to do. I've got someplace to go. And all these people are in some way an impediment to me getting there. I've got to figure out how to get around them. So it looks as if, right, we are relating to ourselves as mattering. What I think is so interesting is that anybody, like anyone who has trouble valuing themselves in relationship with others or in life, will still absolutely use the, I've got to get somewhere, right? The white rabbit, I'm late for a very important date, to raise their importance and justify their actions that can then turn into this unconscious jerk state. Okay, I hope I've piqued your interest and I will see you after break.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes,
walk a mile in my shoes,
walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
All right, well, we are back. I'm Sam Prado, and you are listening to Expedition Self. Today, we're diving into this idea of five ways we are jerky, or we can be jerky. And before we went on break, I was talking about how one of the most fertile territories for spawning jerky ways of being is when we're trying to get from one place to another, when we're on a mission. To accomplish like movement, right? And so I want to just pause here for a moment before I continue on. Are you relating, right? You could certainly call in. I'd love to hear if you are at 202-570-7057. But I'm interested in, are you having trouble seeing yourself doing it? Or are you having an easy time seeing yourself doing it and not such an easy time with others? All right. So here we are. The other thing I notice about that person working the system to get from one spot to another is that some people are super intentional. they're not necessarily trying to be jerky, but they know they're on a mission. They know they're putting effort into it. They actually can make eye contact with those they're working around in some ways, right? To kind of move those people through that intention, right? In some ways, I think it can cause it to go better because they're being intentional and strategic, and there's an element of personal responsibility that's going on. Right. I know I'm operating outside of the normal pace here. I know I'm doing in my movement, I'm affecting the community of which I'm a part of. But then there are the others, the ones who are driven to get somewhere by some unknown force from within. Right. They have a need, an unconscious compulsion. And there's various levels of unconsciousness to the point, right, where they can bump into someone or seem completely shocked that they themselves are the culprit, right? Again, having somewhere to go, it's like justifies it in our minds, right? That actions that would somehow be unacceptable in another setting where we would think about other people or we would go along with crossing the crosswalk when the light turns the right light, you know? When we have this need of movement, for some reason, it bolsters us. I had this jerky moment about a week and a half ago, and it was totally an unconscious. I didn't even realize I was doing it, and I was very tired and discombobulated. And I looked over at the traffic light on the left, thinking it was in front of me. I mean, I was really kind of mentally like just wiped out. And I began to pull into the intersection, and this other person starts honking at me. I'm sure it was a perfect moment to call me a jerk, right? Except I had no idea that I was the one doing something that was outside of like the natural flow of, in that case, the traffic movement. So I want you in this moment to think about you trying to get from here to there. Trying to get something done or movement to happen. And whatever shows up, it doesn't have to be my examples, like trust whatever it is, even if it's more abstract. But I have some, like wanting to get out of the car line and onto the highway after a sports event. Needing to get to work when the expressway is backed up with traffic. Right? I know people who are super mild-mannered, but when there is a need to move in a direction with some clear destination, they become totally morphed into a very different person. So why am I saying this is ripe for jerkiness? Well, it's because I think a different part of the brain takes over. And when that different part of the brain takes over, these are the places that we give ourselves outs. So when we think about being conscious, you go to the areas where something matters to you, right? So you go to a relationship that you're really invested in. You go to an accomplishment or a goal that you've set for yourself. Or you go to the managing of your life so that you take care of yourself. So you direct your thought process about being conscious to the things that you've deemed as matter, that they matter. But when we actually look at this kind of routine, habitual, this motor that's running inside of us, which has to do with getting from point A to point B, getting something from here to there, well, now we're in a different aspect of ourselves, right? And so that's why I'm saying there's something that goes on. We become less conscious of who we're being. We become less responsible for how it goes for us and others. And there's a result that now is plugged into that internal equation that seems so justifiable and legitimate and valid that we actually dismiss our other rules or our guidelines that would typically characterize our interactions if we were thinking we cared about it. And maybe that's the point. It's the space in between that we actually discount. We just decide it doesn't matter because it's not one of the primary bullet points or stopping spots, right, along our journey. And of course, The interesting thing about this jerkiness is that we become jerky in response to it when it's directed at us. When one time I was going through the train and I had too much luggage, which is typical of me, and I was pushing this giant suitcase down the aisle that was too small for it, and I have like a 50-pound backpack on my shoulder that if it comes, you know, picture this, right? It comes flying over my shoulder, it's going to really whack somebody. And so I'm going down and it shifted just a little. It wasn't a full fly, but anyway, it bumped into somebody while it was on my shoulder and in their head. And, you know, it was a shock. And as I felt the resistance of my backpack hit something, I turned around and profusely apologized, realizing that I had done this unknowingly. But of course, it was bound to happen, right? If I'm really looking at the in-between space, that was a jerk moment, it really from the get-go. And so I wasn't being flagrant, you know, in my walking through the train. I thought I was trying to be careful. And the look I got, the reaction that person gave me, if looks could kill, I would have been shriveled up and evaporated right there where I stood. And it was justified, right? I was taking care of my things in some way and impacted his physical presence, right? And it shocked him. It might have hurt a bit. It certainly jolted him out of his blue, right? And probably made him feel a little like under unexpected attack, right? So I got the jerky side of him in that moment because he was a response to, at some level, my unconsciousness, my getting from point A to point B. And it was legitimate, right? I didn't feel like I was being jerky about it. I didn't think of myself as being jerky. I was just trying to get myself out the door of the train before the doors closed. You see, right? It always shows us something about humans. And it's always a lot. We'll have this word just. I was just trying to get down that darn aisle. And we just don't register it because we're not setting out to be a jerk. What if I said to you, think about the person you think actually is, you would say, oh my gosh, that person is a jerk. What if I said to you that they have no idea? What if I said they have no idea? And we, right, if we're going to be the we in this instead of them, but we are the them, remember that, we're in a constant state of trying to take care of what we need. We're trying to stay safe. We're trying to protect what's ours. We're trying to be left alone or to be allowed to pursue what matters to us, right, to catch the bus, to make the deadline. And so when someone gets in the way of this, well, we have real potential to forget the patience that's possible, that it's possible for us to bring as human. See, being human, I talk about it all the time, but it doesn't only mean being kind and patient and understanding. And it's so easy to want to gravitate to the pretty side of being human. And as long as we kind of disassociate, like we separate away from these in-between actions as just part of the doing of life, it's really easy to only see ourselves as kind and patient and understanding. Unless, of course, we're justified in not being, right? Because being human, it means we grumble and we feel annoyed and grouchy and self-interested. And the more we think we have a right to these feelings because of the circumstances, the more we act it out. The more we think we have a right to these feelings because of the circumstances. How about this one? I have to get to the bathroom. I really have to go right now. And all of a sudden, right, we're figuring out how we're going to get around whatever it is that's in the way. Have you ever stood in line in the bathroom and said, listen, I just can't hold it anymore. Would you let me go before you? Okay, that's interesting, right? Now there's an engagement with the environment that we're in rather than just seizing upon it. And, you know, I ponder the idea that we won't really drop into our feelings from life. Not really. And when I say from life, I'm not talking about our reactive feelings. I'm talking about the place where the feelings got started, where they live inside of you that you carry with you, almost like the one side of a magnet, right? That is yours to own, right? I'm not sure we drop into our feelings. So that adds to us giving ourselves permission to then act out on feelings that are under the blanket, that are not as accessible. So those feelings are waiting in the wings. It's like they're in the pantry, right? All of our feelings that are from our life that we haven't worked through, that we didn't want to feel again, that we just tried to get on with it and not sweat the small stuff, right? So it's all in the pantry. We're now in a moment where we've decided we got to get from point A to point B, right? And now all of a sudden, those feelings that we don't really work with, that we leave and ignore them, they're like a bunch of little gremlins and they hop on the bandwagon. You know what? It makes sense, I hope. So instead of really getting in touch with how often we have felt unsafe in life, how often we felt unimportant or stuck or stagnant because we couldn't change something that brought us pain, we, without realizing it, right? When we don't do growth work, we wait instead for life to give us an excuse to feel it. Because it's looking for your attention. It is looking for your attention. So if it's looking for your attention, and jerkiness is one of the things that we will show when those feelings find an outlet, like, I got to get down these stairs before everybody else. And then we get feedback from people that they show us their jerkiness. Well, it kind of makes some sense, doesn't it? Don't you think? If what's really under there is looking for attention, we're actually creating a scenario where that attention is going to come our way. So in the way I'm talking about it tonight, it could fall in a category of justifiable unconsciousness in behavior. And that it's all that the cycle of it is really helpful in going in and getting in touch with those deeper feelings that come from your life, that become ways of relating, ways of responding. Like, I always feel disappointed, right? When my hopes or my dreams don't start panning out. But really, when you look at my deeper feelings in my life, I felt disappointed a lot when I was growing up. And if I didn't work with all that disappointment, it's just sitting in one of those cans in the pantry. And now, I know it's sounding really complex, but I want you to get, this is how we really are as humans, right? If we're going to own all of ourselves, we're not just going to be patient and good and kind. We're going to own these moments when we're out to get somewhere. Okay, how's it landing? Is it making sense to you? So everything that we talk about here on Expedition Self, it's always designed to have you realize that you have deeper being experience that is awaiting your attention and connection and interest. And it desires to be reconnected with and transformed. And so tonight, what I'm actually saying is, when you notice jerkiness coming at you, which means it's probably coming out of you at some point too, then it's an opportunity to say, what are those deeper feelings that live underneath what I consider justifiable behavior when I want to get someplace? All right. So that was one kind of jerkiness, right? The kind that's motivated because you're in movement or in motion. And another kind of jerkiness is like in consideration for others' experience. So remember I said I was at this graduation event and sat in these chairs for 12 hours? You know, it was boring a lot of the time. So people were getting in conversations. And of course, while they're getting in conversations, they're reading off these young people's names or these graduates' names, or there's somebody at the podium saying something, right, that we're supposed to be responding to. And I got to tell you, some people cannot whisper. They cannot whisper. It sounds like real voice, or maybe they don't want to, right? And so while I sat there, I got to hear about the vacation that one couple was going to go on to Norway in July, and another little family, how their child paid their own way to go to college and was beloved by all their friends, and that they were so impressed with them. I'm sure you've all been in one of these moments when people around you didn't realize what you needed, that you wanted to listen or pay attention. And they, in their cluelessness, made it impossible to do so. Okay, so we're going to go on a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about how this inconsideration has to do with these deeper parts of ourselves.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
You came across someone struggling with hunger. How would you recognize them? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break
because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet?
I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
All right, we are back. I'm Sam Parado. You're listening to Expedition Self, and we are talking about 5 ways to be jerky. Of course, we're talking about it, though, from the perspective of how to go inside and what it has to do with going inside. So before break, we talked about this idea of jerkiness that shows up as inconsideration for others' experience. So, all right, here's the part that I think gets kind of interesting here, right? And I said, you've all probably been in one of these moments, a jerky, inconsiderate moment. And then, of course, it brought my jerkiness to the surface, right? Once again, right? Because it's all justified, right? The minute we justify anything, it's a full steam ahead, right? No obstacles, right? So I wanted to hear the event, and they were talking loudly through it. And as far as I was concerned, they were breaking the rules. So, and there were clear rules, right? If you're sitting in a thing and somebody's talking and that there's like an assumption that the people around you are there to listen. So now I had to figure out how to ask them to stop speaking so I could hear without being condescending and caustic, right? Because remember, when I'm justified, I'm going to go somewhere inside myself. And it's going to come through probably as condescending and caustic, which is jerky, right? That there are so many ways of being, right, that fall in this category of what you would consider jerky. So is it even possible to say that to someone? And I will just say that the great equalizer for me when I'm working on this and I want to bring a level of attention to it is I get that flashlight back on myself and I remember that I am doing what I'm having an issue with that everyone else is doing, right? I really try to bring that all the time, is to keep that on me, that I'm looking at who I'm being. So I do think jerkiness comes out when we think someone's breaking the rules of the event or the space or the interaction. And then we get really justified. And a lot of times, right, we let them have it and we don't even think anything of it. One time I was at a concert in South Carolina with my girl pack and my mom was with me. And we had waited all day to see James Otto. I wanted to be the very front of the crowd. I was an original groupie. And like everyone had indulged me in making this happen, we actually got there before they even started the sound checks. I mean, there was no one there, right? So this girl who's at the concert, now the concert's going, and she decides to stand there and blow her smoke basically from behind her in my mom's eyes, right? She's trying to get her so uncomfortable that she would move and she could give her the spot at the front of the line. She was having a gay old time. And she was with a couple of military young guys. And I went over to her and I said, please stop doing that. And of course, she smiled and was jerky. You know. And so I turned around, went back to being in the front row. And so she leaned in a little closer, but now it was behind me. And I then turned around and I looked at the guys. And I said, are you actually going along with this? Right. To hear the condescension here. Right. You think this is okay? Anyway, that night I almost got in a physical altercation because I was not giving up my spot in the front. And I also was not going to let her keep blowing smoke right on us. And so in my world, that justified any jerkiness I might do because she was being a bigger jerk. Like she broke the rules of conduct. And so she deserved, in my mind, my reaction. I even, you know, tried to appeal to the people she was with, thinking they would have a code of conduct that would be somewhere connected to me, you know, like respectful of older people or anything, right? So this second way that we get jerky is when we think someone has broken some rule that we perceive is at play, some common way we're all supposed to act in any given situation, right? Think about when you go to a doctor's office and someone is allowing their child to run from chair to chair and take all the magazines and throw them in the air and stack them in the middle of the floor and talk really loud. And that person, the parent, thinks it's cute, right? But others coming for their office visit, they want to be left alone in peace and quiet. So rules, they bring out our inner jerky selves. And then, this is just a sideline thought as I say this, how many people now walk around with earplugs in their ears? And of course, some people think that's rude. But of course, I think about how many moments was that person on the receiving end of someone infringing on their right, their rule, their right of privacy. So I guess this jerkiness is all around us right now, right? When the president gave his State of the Union address this year, and two of the Congress people actually yelled liar at him, I was so appalled. And then I guess I was, you know, watching some video later that he was at some televised dinner a few days later, and he made a joke, and my head was like, ooh, I didn't think that was great. I thought that was jerky. So here's my dilemma about this. We know that breaking down rules and expectations and stereotypes gives people more freedom to be who they are, to express the truth. But my question is, where are the borders for this? If we recognize that we're all jerky at one moment or another for justified and valid reasons in our mind, how do we handle this kind of entitlement in a way that doesn't breed and amplify more jerkiness? Have you ever considered that your jerky moment is just raising the bar and escalating another person's jerky moment at another time, unrelated to you? Like, what if we are all unaware that the fact that every jerky moment you engage in or I engage in, it legitimizes and normalizes someone in your circle during some future experience? and feeling completely justified in being inconsiderate of somebody else's experience at that time. And so when I wasn't fascinated by the hundreds of different name combinations of the graduates, well, it blew my mind. This is what I ruminated over. How often do we fuel the environments we don't want with our own actions unknowingly? And I think this happens because we're often coming from powerlessness, like extreme powerlessness. We don't recognize how much power we have, especially when we're unconscious, right? In our unconsciousness, we feel powerless. We don't realize, right, that from that place, we gear up for battle, for the race, for the need to overpower the opponent, right? We prepare to defend our position or our needs or our rights because we're coming from a smaller place that actually feels real. And of course, we can always add one more layer to this, which is fear, right? When we feel fear, we can feel justified to do anything to anyone, including our children. So I say this to myself a lot. Let me remind myself to make room for my whole entire human experience. Let me make room for others to do the same. When that jerky behavior makes its way into my space, if I can make room for that person to work it out, and if I have to assert in it to try to remember that we just don't get how much power and influence we have over any moment because we only count that which we intend, not that which just happens. And of course, this is super hard to do when we're caught, right, in feeling powerless and scared and small and don't know it. So I'm wondering if you can tap into this right now. Can you take that elevator from all your thoughts, all the stuff that's running your everyday moments, and let it go down 10 floors into your belly? And just get in touch with feeling small, smaller, smaller, more vulnerable, overpowered, overwhelmed, thinking you have no influence, feeling at risk, as if anything could happen to you that would cause you distress or hurt or fear. Just drop into that space right now, 10 floors down. This is the elemental stuff of being a jerk. This is the source of unconsciousness. Just for this moment, tap into what it really means to be the whole you, before and after and underneath all of your striving and trying and surviving. Just sit in that for 1 second. All right, now get back in that elevator and ride it back up to the top of your psyche, back to your head. Feel yourself get a little more buoyant. And know, though, that that is what lives way down deep inside. That's what's running a lot of what's running you. So the third area of jerkiness to me lies in superiority. When we think we're better than someone else, smarter, more talented, more capable, more successful. This is when more isn't more at all. I had a friend a long time ago who thought she was prettier than me, and she is, right? And I was talking about how my eyebrows are crooked and that my face isn't so asymmetrical, and I was feeling bad about it. And I don't remember exactly what she said, but it was something that left me feeling forever and ever unattractive. And she couldn't help it. It was a little jerky moment because she felt more in that department because she agreed with me, right? She didn't look beyond how she looked at herself. And for me, it shows up when I think I'm more conscious than someone else, right? Or I'm more committed to it, right? It kills me to not say things that they're complaining or feeling down about themselves, right? That I say, you know, it's going on this way because you're not committed to being conscious. I went to a voice teacher once when I was in high school, wanted to sing more than anything. And she looked at me and she said, you can't sing. I can't work with you because I only work with people who have some talent. Superior. So have you ever experienced these kinds of things, either the giving or the getting of them? And again, when jerky moments come towards us, then we dish them out later. I can tell you that I have spoken to people about their lack of talent since then, and I didn't handle it much better. I was pretty jerky. It's so easy to feel victimized when you're on the receiving end, you know, of this kind of jerkiness. But you always have to remember how you give your power to them to work with. So that's a great reminder, right? Be careful who you give your power to. But you can see that if you don't realize you have it, that power, then you're going to revert to feeling like a victim when you aren't. Right? And remember, in that pantry are all those core life feelings that are looking for you to go looking for them. All right. We're getting kind of close to the end. I'm going to try to get to a little bit more that I had planned to talk about. The fourth kind of jerkiness to me comes from envy, jealousy, and being competitive. And I probably have the most difficulty with this one, seeing it in myself and recognizing it in others. I would say it lives in a blind spot. And part of it is just every bit about it makes me feel extra bad, right? I don't really like operating in a competitive way. Not that I'm not competitive, right? Like idea that someone's going to win and lose, especially if I'm losing, it makes me feel bad, right? I find that envy and jealousy just makes me feel small. And when it comes out, I always wish I could suck the words back in. And, you know, I'm not talking about fun competition that isn't about your self-image. I'm talking about that kind where it puts somebody in a better position to get to feel more valuable, more superior, right? Like with me, people have said, you just don't have eye-hand coordination, right? Or I've seen you run, I would give up now, right? But the envy and jealousy one, it makes us feel stingy and we withhold, right? We don't want to share our own bounty in our heart because why give them more? Why do they get that extra hand up? Why did they get to win when somebody else didn't? And of course, that kind of jerkiness often has sarcasm to it because there's some inner conversation happening that warrants some kind of justification or rationalization about why I don't have what they have, why I can't accomplish what they accomplished. And sometimes it even is frosted with a lot of futility. I'd never have a chance to do that. So the last kind of jerkiness, I'm going to try to get this one done, has to do with when you sit in the position of judge and jury. And I know we talked about having jerky feelings when someone breaks the rules or the accepted code of behavior, but this one is a bit different because in this case, you're sitting in a position of authority in your head. You're judging this person or situation in a particular way, and you're talking to them as if you are the judge. I don't know, someone who acts like you did probably deserved what happened to you. You know, there's this place where because you didn't follow through on what you said you were going to do, I don't feel anything about the fact that you're missing out on that opportunity to study abroad. See, when we're being jerky from the judge and jury perspective, we're not feeling for the person at all. We're actually relishing in the idea that they're getting what they deserve. So, you know, it's like there's an equation. Person does something, then something happens, and then that becomes justified, right? And deems whatever goes on, right? There's no feeling. So there's a theme in all these examples. And it's this idea that something is justified in our mind. And of course, the challenge is that these examples are all processed through the mind rather than the heart. So jerkiness is often a byproduct of acting out of the mind because we're not in touch with what's going on in the heart. When we use our mind to work out our own inner powerlessness, our own fear, the sense of being small or being worth little or nothing, there is no other place to go than to be jerky. I'm going to say it one more time. When we use our mind to work out our own inner powerlessness, our fears, the sense of being small and vulnerable or being worth little or nothing, There was no other place to go than being jerky. So in my final thought, is jerkiness a bad thing? Well, how can you say that it is when it's going on all of the time? Because we human beings really do feel way down deep at the 10th floor below, powerless and small and afraid. So no, it isn't a bad thing, but it is a sign. And it can help you notice where you're not connected to your heart or what's really going on at a deep level. And it can help you stop the cycle that we're all living in right now. Jerky to jerky to jerky to jerky, right? We can start really being the one that actually gets our hold of ourselves and uses it as a signal to develop more relationship with the self. All right, that's it. I hope you enjoyed tonight's show. Thank you so much for being with me, and have an awesome week noticing your jerkiness.